and welcome to a new episode of Grey's Academy in the year 2026. Here we are. It's amazing to be here. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your hosts, Carmen. And it is a beautiful night for a podcast. And I got through that entire introduction so perfectly. I didn't trip over my words. I made no innuendos, and I made no inappropriate comments about the world that we live in general. Which is crazy, if you think about it. Like, what is even happening in our country? What's happening outside of our country? Just was watching... So I haven't watched the newest season of Andor. Have you?
Okay. No.
Okay. There's... So I guess they won... Was it a Golden Globe that they won?
The Golden Globes and Critics' Choice were the past couple weeks, so one of those maybe.
Okay, so they won an award that I don't have. Yeah, and
so many of those.
Yeah, yet. But there was a clip, there was a reel that came up that was basically like, this is the speech that won Andor the award, mm-hmm. and. It was Mon Mothma delivering an address to the Senate that basically was like, Emperor Palpatine is the root of all evil. And it just rings so true today. I did see a clip of Mark Ruffalo standing up mm-hmm. for us peasants, which was nice.
Mm-hmm. He's a great man.
Actually, I think he was specifically standing up for the communities within Minnesota being mm-hmm. absolutely ravaged by ice for right
no
now.
No reason.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a reason. It's racism.
Yeah. And what did we just, what did we land on? Homophobic, xenophobic, but
bigotry.
You know, all bigotry. Thank you. That's mm-hmm. the word.
Yes.
Bigotry
yes.
in general. White supremacy. You
know, things that we thought we could maybe not have in 2026, but somehow. We still get to have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's our privilege. It's our privilege to have unnecessary blessed. Murders in you know, right out in the open.
Sanctioned murder.
Yeah. And you know, I think my favorite part about the world we live in right now is America getting back to its imperialistic roots. It's my favorite. I love it. Big fan. And, you know, another you know, military operation revolving around oil. You know, it's cyclical. So
it's cyclical, or is it never ending?
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Sometimes they come and go and take breaks, and sometimes they just are forever.
Yeah. So I think what I'm trying to say is to the rest of the world. You know what? To Americans and to the rest of the world. It's all fucked, and I hope that you can. I hope that you can hear us talking about Grays and escape for a little bit mm-hmm. and get fucked in a good way, right? Yeah. Like, let's have some good fucking, some consensual, joyous fucking.
Yeah, we love to be, you know, a beacon in the light, or a light in the dark, a beacon in the terrible times. But just like in case anyone's unclear about anything, we hate ice. We hate mm-hmm, it. We mm-hmm, hate them. Mm-hmm. They're garbage. Mm-hmm, we mm-hmm. are pro-choice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
we mm-hmm. are believers in a free Palestine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
we mm-hmm. just think people in general shouldn't be assholes. We believe in basic human rights. People. You know, it's
yes.
just like if you watch Grey's Anatomy, these are storylines that are spelled out in this show. So I have to assume it's not surprising if the listenership lines up with these beliefs. But we just want to make it clear where we stand. And I have had people write us on Instagram or email and ask us what our stances are on different things, and I am happy to clear that up if there's ever any misconceptions or confusion. But probably, if you think it's probably right, like that yeah. would probably be our stance.
Yeah.
I just feel like we make it generally like well enough-ish known. We try our best. So we're not really keeping it to ourselves for any reason.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think for me too, like cis is what you mean when it's you're the gender that you were born, you were assigned at birth. Is that, yes. That's what cis means, right?
Yes. You are as a straight man.
As a cisgendered straight white man.
That also.
I think I need to call out that I feel like I'm a pretty good human person. But in the heat of joke, sometimes if I do say something that is, I don't know, like just a little bit too goofy
or taken too far potentially, yeah. For some people,
I want to recognize that's totally fair, but I also want to welcome, and I've had quite a few people reach out to me just like in general on like opinions that I have and on Instagram. I'm always here for conversation. And I promise you guys, sometimes the jokes that I make don't read the same as my heart, but they are just like sometimes me talking out of my butt. And actually, if you listen to the Patreon cold open, Kelsey said, sometimes I don't think before I speak, but it's never malicious, I promise.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I want to double down on that. We just human rights as a basic way we treat people. That's
that we're bringing to 2026 and also into forever.
Yeah. And also in the communities that we foster, right? Like I think to our Patreon, we have someone in Patreon, you know, right now, well, quite a few people who are going through a lot, and there's no kicking people when they're down. We have a very diverse group within our Patreon community as well. Like that's incredible. Mm-hmm. And just
it's very different lived experiences.
Love thy neighbor. Mm-hmm. Fucking let's like just don't be a dick. Like, can we just all not be dicks?
So low.
And also, Greenland doesn't belong to us. Like, what is happening?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. No, yeah, we don't need to take over the world. We're already doing a poor job. We don't need to add more.
Hmm. It'd be different if we're trying to, you know, force down universal healthcare and education to places, but that problem is they already have it. So, yeah. And we don't.
So I'm like, why do you guys want this? You guys hate these things. I'm so confused. It's
in other news, go Bears. Am I right? Bear down.
Carmen likes football now.
Bear down, motherfuckers. Let's do this.
That's so. When did you really start locking in on actively watching Bears games?
This season. Well, yeah, okay,
but was it like the beginning of the season? Last season, like off and on, you were kind of into it. They were bad last season. They weren't doing as well last season.
Yeah, so I basically lost. It wasn't a bet as much as it was an agreement that if the Bears got the number one overall pick and drafted a new quarterback, I was going to start my fandom with the reset button and be in it.
Okay.
And I've always been a Chicago sports fan. I've always rooted. I've always been around sports. Mm-hmm. Like, I know the rules of football. But, like, White Sox baseball, Cubs baseball if necessary, Chicago Bulls basketball, not really hockey. Hockey is a bit too much for me. I don't really like hockey, but I'm working on it. But yeah, Bears football, been locked in. And then last season, I actually bought a hat. I have owned a Bears hat for two seasons now. And it's actually the Crucial Catch breast cancer awareness hat from two seasons ago. And I locked in this season, and luckily they were good, but I was like, I was really following the off season with the coaching hiring, and all that, like their draft. I was really into, I actually listened to AM radio, like ESPN 1000 when I drive to work every once in a while, listening to them talk about the Bears. So I've really tried to invest myself in it and just embrace that inner, Chris Farley version of Mike Ditka. or the sports fans guys when they talk about Mike Ditka. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. But man, I got to tell you, watching the Bears game with Jess and her younger brothers this past weekend was awesome. And then it's like after the way that the video you sent me, the suburb dad, I think, where he was like silently cheering with the baby there.
Yeah.
We had to start doing that because Marla was like, the boys are really loud downstairs, mommy.
Yep.
We were.
Also grew up with a dad who was very loud at the television. Like also not always on the same floor, you know, sometimes downstairs. Mm,
yeah.
So I understand that. For sure. But yeah,
it's going to be,
it's football's like, I don't know. It's just, there's for me, cause that's what I grew up on. Like I can enjoy watching other sports, but there's no other sport that I get as hype about as football. For me, it's just like a different pace. Like for me, I feel like the pacing of baseball is slower because it's a completely different game and it's set up completely differently. Like it's just the way it's played. Basketball, I know people live and die for basketball, and I love that for you. It's not for me.
Yeah,
it's too squeaky.
Yeah, totally.
I am horrible at it. I cannot do it. I have tried and failed at basketball many a time. And they're great. Good for them. It's not for me. I like football.
That's
where I'm at.
The last thing I'll say on this topic, other than, man, I'm so glad to have sports in Chicago trending upwards, especially football. This is a football town for sure, and we deserve it. I never watched a lot of football games because they were always on Sundays. And back when I was working retail, I worked a lot of Sundays. So I would go from church in the morning to basically closing at night. And I just never got to watch the game. So I didn't commit to the fandom because it was too hard to follow. You only have 16 chances in a season to watch the games as opposed to baseball.
It's
you've
like
got 160 chances.
That's another, I'm like, I don't get it. That's too many
games. Oh, I love it. Oh no. And one game can change your entire season. You never know. You know, so it's, but I also grew up in a house where we didn't watch college sports and I don't have a college connection the way that you do with like Tennessee. So that's one thing that I've really tried to embrace. And also Marla will just sit and watch the game and she'll like root for Caleb Williams and she'll ask who the bad guys are based on the color of their jerseys.
That's yeah.
And she's
Scarlett's
like
who's the purple team? And then she'll be like, which team do you like? And Michael has no answer because he doesn't like a team. He just likes the players he's drafted for fantasy and they're often on both teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's like, well, I need these people to do this and this person to do this. And I'm like, she's not, you're making this so difficult. Neither of these kids are going to like football because you're making it not enjoyable.
Just be Bears fans with us.
No, we're not going to do that. It's just more fun to not do it because of Michael's family.
They're Bears fans?
Well, yeah, because they're from Illinois.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think you guys should just do it. I mean, it sounds like they're really smart people, you know, based strictly on their NFL fandom. But this is not a Bears podcast, unfortunately. It is a human rights podcast, not a Bears podcast.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the TV show based in human rights called Grey's Anatomy. Should we?
Yeah.
Shall we? Should we? Should we?
should we? Yes, guys, this is episode 5 of the 10th season. It is episode 201 overall. And it is called I Bet It Stung. And that's a song.
I Bet It Stung is a song. And I lost my page here, but I got to tell you, there's not much information here.
It's Tegan and Sarah. Which is a big big deal if you're a Grays fan.
Oh no, I don't know why that's the case. Tell me more about Tegan and Sarah. I don't know this.
Where does the good go?
Oh, did they write the intro song?
Tell me you don't find no.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. Anyways, the song. I Bet It Stung did not chart, but let me tell you a little bit about Tegan and Sarah. This is what I was trying to find. They're a Canadian indie pop duo formed in 1998. Love that. They have 10 studio albums spanning from 1999 to 2022. Pretty impressive. Shout out, Canada. Let's go ahead and talk about their discography here. So I want to call out, so these are the names of the albums. Under Feet Like Ours. Feet Like Ours. The Business of Art. If It Was You, So Jealous. The Con. Sainthood. Heartthrob. Love You to Death. Hey, I'm Just Like You. And Crybaby. This song, I Bet It Stung. I was trying to find, because the one that you sent me was off of their like compilation, like hits album.
Ah, yes.
Let's see. I Bet It Stung. This looks like it's from So Jealous. Let me just fully. Yep. So this is track number 3 off of the album So Jealous. And it did pretty well. The album itself released February. Oh, this is their most recent one. No, that can't be right. No, that can't be right.
You're doing amazing.
No, I don't think I can do this. I Bet It Stung. Anyways, this song was fine. Okay, guys, this is the moral of the story. I'm giving up. There's not much information about this particular song on here. I was trying to educate you on Tegan and Sarah. But, oh, no. So Jealous, September 14th, 2004. Fuck, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Oh, because on February 11th, 2022, they released a completely acoustic reimagining of all of the songs. Okay. Yeah, I can't walk, talk,
read. Tegan and Sarah are good. I like Tegan and Sarah. I learned about Tegan and Sarah from Grey's Anatomy and then listened to a lot of them in high school because of my introduction to them from this show.
I will tell you, I listened to a couple other songs that just like kept playing after I listened to this off of their compilation album. It's very indie, very fun.
Yeah.
None of the songs made it to my iTunes library. I'm going to give this an objective score and a subjective score both at a 2. But you've got me curious, Tegan and Sarah. You've got me very curious here. So with that, Kelsey, back to you, my friend.
Thank you so much for that live on the air research. This episode was written by Janine Renshaw and directed by Mark Jackson, both of whom we have seen before. It aired October 17th, 2013 to 8.78 million views, which was about the same as last week's episode. And the Netflix synopsis on this one is, Meredith is having trouble being both a great surgeon and a great mother, while Jo finds herself in a complicated relationship with a problem patient. I feel like mostly accurate.
Yeah, and kind of spoily free. It's been so long since we've talked about Grey's. I almost don't even remember what happened last episode.
It was the fundraiser, mostly.
Ah, the fundraiser. Okay, that's actually all you needed to say. I totally remember now. But I remember one of the last scenes of that episode, the ad episode, is Alex getting told by Joe that this dude is his dad.
Yep.
And storming off. So it looks like their relationship, virtually no fallout, which is good.
Yeah, but she's not being super respectful of the boundaries that he's setting.
I
see where she's coming from when she's like, oh, just talk to him. But I feel like he's being pretty clear, like, I'm not going to, like,
no,
it's not,
I don't want
it's
to.
Just not, like, when she says, oh, I dreamt up so many versions of my dad and you have one, he's like, yeah, and he's shitty and I didn't make that up, I lived it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's setting a solid, and he's not, like, I mean, yes, he's not being gentle, but he never is. Like, I don't think he's being that big a dick about it. I think he's like, I'm not going to talk to him. I want him to go, and then I can move past this.
Yeah, he's not being a giant dick about this. He's definitely, like, maybe a semi-erect or mostly flaccid, but, like, a little blood pumping to it at worst. If I'm using a full-on penis metaphor here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's a good point. I actually didn't even think about it that way with Joe. I guess let's talk about this first. So Joe,
Alex's dad has been admitted to the hospital. But he doesn't know and who Alex is.
It's the admittance is for the drug use, right?
Well, they were in a car wreck. Like, him and two other people came in. They were doing drugs when they crashed their car.
I'm assuming that no one was hurt or anything because he just gets to leave. I think they had just said that
they had crashed their car, like, into a pole or something.
Hmm. I always get confused around, like, accidents and mm-hmm. the implications when they're in a hospital. Because if there's property damage or there's, like, police reports filed, you can't just leave, I don't think, right? Like,
I mean, it depends, I guess, on, like, because sometimes with court and stuff, they're like, oh, we just have given you a court date. And you have to show up. And if you don't, then there's an issue.
Yeah. Which, let me tell you, I went to court within the last couple of months or so. I think it was in November. And I hated that. It was just traffic court, but, like, man.
For what?
Dumb. So I didn't have my license plate on my front of my car.
Oh, right. We did talk about this. I do remember you telling me. Yeah. That is a dumb. Yeah. We don't have that law here. We only have to have it on the back.
Yeah. It's how it should be.
And so I will say, Michael and I were talking about it recently, and I'm like, traffic court's one of those things where it's, like, super annoying, but if you go, you're, like, guaranteed to get out of whatever it is, because very rarely does the cop show up, and the cop, like, has to be there half the time for anything to matter for some reason. I don't understand. It doesn't feel like the most efficient use of any resources, but that's obviously how we're going to do it.
The chance that you don't show up, though, then you get a fine, and then they're like, oh, yeah, sure. Either you show up and give us nothing, or don't show up and we'll hound you for $7,000.
Well, but you can just pay a ticket and not go at all. Or you can go and, like, not have to pay the ticket.
So, yeah, that's where mine was. The guy basically was like, you can plead guilty and pay this $275 fine, or you can go there, show a picture of the license plate once you get it installed, and then they're mm-hmm. just going to throw it all away. And I'm like, and then, that sounds
I will
better.
Say, like, when you go and, or if you don't go, then a lot of times it will negatively impact insurance as well. So, like, going obviously has the benefit of, like, not going against you on that end.
But yeah, I always wonder about those things. I feel like in some of these shows we've seen, that's where a valid question, have to show up sure. and... But he's just like, you know, they're vibing on the treadmill, and he's like, oh, I'm good.
Not going to go to rehab.
Like, yeah. They tried to get me to go to rehab, and I said, no, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Joe's, like, really taking a special interest in him, which makes sense to us, not to him.
Correct.
It is funny he that is
like,
scene.
Like, what do you want with me, you weirdo?
Yeah. But when he's like, yeah, I know I came in, I had a little bit of stuff in my system. And she's like, bitch, it took me 30 minutes to find a vein I could find, bro. Like, what
You're
the
shooting
fuck?
Into the back of your knee because your arms are so, like, exhausted from drug use.
That's nuts. Addiction is a disease.
Mm-hmm.
We need more resources for it. Same with mental health. But, like, damn, the problem is she's given him the resources.
Yeah, he is really, like, and his whole thing is, like, oh, I'll just let you down. I'm like, well, but how, my thing with it is, how do you think not even trying isn't letting someone down?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's you and I have both too. Talked before about, like, knowing people who have battled addiction. So a lot of times, you know, I know multiple people who have gone to rehabs multiple times. Often the ones that don't stick are ones where, like, it was court mandated. And it's the one when they're like, okay, I'm going. Like, I'm done, I'm going. Those are the ones where it, like, sticks.
Yeah, it's when they hit that rock bottom.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I have multiple family members who've struggled with addiction. I think I've talked about some mm-hmm. cousins on multiple sides with heroin. And it's an epidemic. And it's getting into schools. It's ruining teenagers' lives. And basically, there's, you know, I try to not talk bad about anyone. But if you are a pedophile or if you are peddling drugs to kids, you are, there is no place in hell for you, even. There's worse than that. What can we come up with? No.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not to sound like a dweeb, but don't do drugs. I mean, do some. Some are legal, and some should be legal, to be honest. I got a call today from a robot in Florida that was like, hey, you signed this petition a couple of years ago to make weed legal in Florida. And I'm like, I'm sure I did when I lived there. I don't live there anymore. Yeah. And they were like, the robot was like, can I send someone to you? And I was like, I don't live in Florida. And they were like, oh, we can't send anyone out of state. And I was like, I know you're a robot. And I support your cause, but like, leave me be, please.
Yeah, we have, there's a dispensary just outside of work, and I'm like, I get curious, and I'm over there like, man, I just want to like, I should just walk in and see what's going on. I've never even been in a dispensary. I need to go check it out.
Do you guys, does your work drug test, is it legal? What's the marijuana rule in Illinois?
I think legal. I think we're good. You just can't. Yeah. Be like a dealer because they got to tax it, you know, we're trying to get that tax revenue.
They like, for all the people that are like that bitch about the economy, I'm like, if you would just legalize marijuana and prostitution, sex work rather, then like you'd probably be boosting the economy so fucking much, your heads would spin off their tiny little necks.
You know, I think you mentioned that a couple weeks ago or last week. The sex work thing, I think I'm still forming my opinion on. I don't know if I have an opinion on that one yet.
You don't know that you think it should be legal or taxed?
I don't know that taxation
is theft, but...
give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, as they say. But no, the sex work being legal, I don't know if I think
it should be legal. Well, I think if it's legal, it's easier to regulate it and then make it much safer for both the workers and the patrons of it.
I agree with that. I think I haven't fully formed my opinion on the morality of sex work.
I just don't think there's really any. I think a lot of this is probably too strong a word, but the propaganda surrounding sex work being immoral comes from religion, but also mostly the patriarchy, because it is traditionally like a woman heavy job, and they're like, how can we shame women always and make them like feel worthless, but we the men are the biggest clientele. It's something to unpack.
Yeah, I have
I don't think you should get a sex worker because you're married. So if that's what you mean, then I'm on your side.
I mean, yes, but I think that legalizing it creates more problems like that for people like me people who are married who have less restraint than
that's
someone like me.
Like, that's not other people's problems. Like, you shouldn't be like, sex work can't exist. You're right.
Okay, let's talk about something else.
This is a debate.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just still forming my opinions on it. Either way, no shame to anyone out there, but also like, don't do heroin. Okay, so I guess really the only other thing that happens, so we talked about it a little bit, she gets him into this rehab place. He's like, I don't want to be another fuck up. And you know, it's against my policy. And you know, you tell people you do something and then you're disappointment. I don't even know you. And you know, I appreciate your concern, but like, take care now. Fuck you, dude. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's.
And then.
A lot.
Go ahead. No, you.
No, I mean, like, I definitely see where he's coming from with the confusion on her, because it would be weird to feel like a doctor is so hyperfixated on you, because, like, yeah, she's being very, she's great with patients. Like, we see that with Joe all the time. Like, she's not,
not
a new thing that's just this time. But it would be weird to be like, do you do this to every, like, you know, you think, well, I can't be the only drug addict who's ever come in here. Does she do this with everyone? Like, what is happening? So I understand why he would, especially also like, he is probably at a point in his life where he has been ignored or kind of tossed aside by a lot of people in his life. So I do feel like there would probably be some level of what is happening on that end as well. But yes, the end when he gets in the elevator with Alex.
Crazy. Love. You know, I love that this show says the elevator is going to be our vessel.
Grey's Anatomy has really the most uncomfortable
conversation. Yes, they said that the elevator is ours. We're planting the flag. And what I like about that scene is that he didn't talk to his dad. He was about to. And the world actually looks like it made, for now, the choice for him.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
And what's interesting is that Jimmy does say to him when he gets off, he's like, have a good night or whatever. Have a good one. Whatever he says. He says something.
He says, take it easy, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which, like, I don't know about you. I don't talk to people when I get off an elevator. Like, I mean, if there's already been conversation, but if I just wrote, if we were riding in silence, I'm not then going to be like, bye. See ya.
Yeah. I think when I get on elevators, that's fair. Yeah.
But you can still tell the story.
No, I mean, I was just going to say, like, even if I say at minimum excuse me, or hey, can I slide past you? You're getting up. Have a good day.
If someone if it's a full one, or like they step out and hold the door for you, obviously, like, thank you, whatever. But if I'm in the front and the door, I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It makes sense. Let's do, speaking of the intricacies of taxation and capitalism, let's have a quick break. Maybe you'll get an ad about someone signing a petition for sex work, and in which case, go ahead and sign it if you feel like that's your choice. But if not, capitalism gods, here you go. And we're back. This ad is sponsored by elevators.
Oh,
I don't think there's much to that storyline we want to talk to right now, is there?
To say about Alex and Jimmy and Joe?
No. I just like that there wasn't full resolution. I think I enjoy that every once in a while.
Resolution or not full resolution?
Like a semi-resolution. He shared a space with his father, and that feels like...
didn't punch him.
Yeah, and that feels
like
a win.
Which is one of the things that he said he was afraid he would do if he talked to him, was like, just start punching him again. Which I feel like they were kind of alluding in the elevator almost to that. Like, oh, is he about to talk to him? Oh, is he about to punch him? We'll never know.
Although I do think it would be a dick move of Alex to just punch him with no prior explanation. Like, imagine just getting clocked by someone on the street.
That Alex has done that.
Well, he did say to Joe at one point, he basically, the last time that he saw his dad, he was basically, he could have punched him into death.
Yeah. Which.
So.
Begs the question of, I'm sure they said how old Alex was when his dad left. For some reason, and I'm not remembering it 100%, but for some reason, the number 11 is really sticking out of my brain. And I just, like, I don't know. I've never been an 11-year-old boy. Do you think at 11 you can punch someone to death? I mean, I guess if they're out of it on drugs, maybe.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say. I mean, when I was 11, I was getting punched by my dad. Right. So I couldn't imagine. Yeah, classic. So I couldn't imagine the reverse punching. But I guess if he was like strung out on drugs and I said, this is my chance, I could probably muster up the strength to punch or kick enough to a human face to end in murder.
My thing with it is, like, if he's older really than 11, it feels like, Do we feel like he's recognizable enough now? Because I feel like I don't look terribly different than I did when I was 11. Like, you could tell probably that it's me. I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know that you could. Well,
you probably not.
I mean, based on the pictures I've seen of you.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what Alex looked like, you know, when he was 14, 15, whatever. But if I'm thinking, like, if he is 15, 16, how does this man not recognize him? But you know, then I think them talking about, oh, he was in like 30 plus foster homes. So it had to be a younger age.
Yeah.
I don't think the writers mean for me to think this deeply about it.
Oh, they do. They do. Sloppy writing. Yeah. Actually, this show sucks.
No.
Let's talk about the Marvel trailers instead.
I don't watch those.
I know. I was being a jokey jokester. Ha ha ha. All right. Let's talk about Daredevil Girl. That's a pretty quick storyline.
Yeah. There's a hang glider. Her name is Reese, and her sister's name is Donna. And poor Donna has the saddest story.
Poor Donna!
So Reese had cancer when she was young, which is why she does all of these Daredevil things. She's like, oh, I'm making up for lost time. I gotta like live now while I can because I almost didn't get to, whatever, whatever. Which I support. Like, I'm not against that mentality. Like, obviously, how lucky to have been able to survive cancer. Like, so many people don't have that story. So there is like an appreciation for life, you know, that people who have lived through something like that are going to have. I think she doesn't realize. So, you know, they say basically when her sister was a toddler and she had cancer, then the parents had another sibling to be a donor match. So basically be like, she needs bone marrow, she needs blood, she needs whatever. Like, we'll just take it from like, I don't know that did they specify that they like in the lab picked the embryo? Cause I know that that's a thing they've done. Like, in private practice episodes, they had talked about like, genome mapping out embryos to match kids who already are alive.
It didn't sound like they did that.
Yeah, if they did that, they didn't say it in this episode for sure.
And you know, this actually sent me into a tail spiral. Okay.
Oh yeah.
A tailspin spiral.
Tailspin spiral.
I think I could kind of see where parents would be coming from on that. Is that weird to say?
I definitely think, no, in that moment, I think.
Not that I wouldn't love like the additional child any less. Like, I think it was it in private practice where the one mom was basically like, take the baby away from me, I don't want to hold it. Like, this is a feeder baby.
Like,
they need the umbilical cord
save
stuff.
The other babies, yeah.
Yeah. So,
with
like,
the twins.
I could not look at it that way. I would think that second kid is also so fucking cool and so fucking special. But I could kind of see like at all costs, if I need what I would need to do to save Marlo and like having a baby for that purpose. But man, it's a fucked up life, and it's clearly fucked with that girl Donna's psyche.
Yeah. I definitely think, like, when you are, like, as a parent, you become desperate and you do think, like, oh, I'll do anything. And there definitely is a difference between being like, well, I still love this kid and I wanted another kid anyways, versus, like, I never would have had another kid. I only have the, like, to the one, to your point, in private practice.
Right.
And they're like, just take this baby away and go save my other kids.
Yeah.
So there is a difference, but, you know. It's, to your point, I definitely think that it's negatively impacted Jonna pretty badly. The poor girl is just like, I only exist because she got sick. I like exist to give her spare parts. She's like, okay, let's take a kidney. Haven't done one of those yet. Ha ha ha. Like, she needs therapy.
Absolutely needs therapy. But so does freaking Reese.
Yeah,
Reese needs some therapy. They need couples therapy, I think, too.
Sibling therapy.
Sibling therapy.
Probably rope the parents in on that one, honestly.
Yeah. Need to know what those dinner table conversations were like.
Yeah. So Reese is injured hang gliding. She needs a kidney. Callie basically like tells Donna, you don't have to do this. And Donna's like, woohoo, yay, I don't have to do it. And then has a second thought and does in fact do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what were your thoughts on that?
The second that scene ended, I was like, I don't think this isn't going to stick. She's going to go back on it.
Yeah.
What I thought was, so they lined up these characters to where, like, Callie is weirdly mirroring Donna. Right. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I think Callie says to her is, like, you can dance in your underwear.
Because and that's what I thought was to do.
Correct. You can do this thing that I need to do for life. Mm-hmm. But when Owen goes back and is like, hey, like, the girl decided she's going to give the kidney after all, like, we're going to go do the surgery. I thought that that was going to send Callie into, like, a reversion spiral back to living and being in her relationship slash marriage slash living situation with Meredith and Derek and, right, and Zola and Bailey and Sophia and all of them together. So I'm glad that didn't happen. I'm glad that at the end, the resolution for Callie is, I'm going to get my apartment back. I'm going to take it back because my wife is a cheater and this is my apartment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she dances in her underwear. And that's great.
We love that. And I like that part of the whole thing she says to Arizona is, like, if I don't do this now, I'll lose the nerve, which I kind of think is hand in hand with the sister thing. Cause I do wonder, like, oh, in that moment, you know, she was ready to say no, but then, like, kind of taking the time and, like, sitting on it. I think that's how she kind of, like, lost the nerve and ended up being like, okay, well, I'll give her my kidney. But also, like, it is different because, you know, one of these things is essentially life and death. Like, okay.
The apartment.
Yeah, for sure. so it's like a different level of burden, but that doesn't make it any better. There was a book that I read in high school called My Sister's Keeper that broached this topic in a really interesting way. And I won't go into like how it all went down, but it was about a sister who had been born to, you know, the same thing, like keep the donor, the older sister alive through cancer treatments. And then, like, later on in life, she files for emancipation from her parents because she doesn't want to keep doing it anymore. But it's very interesting. It's a very interesting perspective on it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I couldn't tell you that I read that book in high school.
Yeah.
Don't know if high school Carmen read any books, honestly. Yeah,
I'd be pretty surprised.
Yeah. One thing I will say to end this particular storyline, because I know, like, there's some intertwining parts. Right. Like, there was the conversation that they're making us believe that Owen is, like, very involved with this Emma woman behind, mm-hmm, like, the veil. She's not even in the episode, but the banana bread is the manifestation of Emma in this episode. Right. And for some reason, Callie's the only one who's talking to Owen about her, which is interesting. But then the sister, Donna, in that conversation with Callie, I have the note where she is like, I need a boyfriend and a job and a Caribbean cruise. And she never got to learn how to ride a bike because she couldn't get hurt because of, right, her sister. And it's like, yeah, like, you should get to live life. And honestly, maybe the writers wrote in her backstory past this, or her front story, her forward story, as she donates the kidney and says, I'm done, I'm going to go learn to ride a bike. And she's with Roy Kent and Jamie Tart in the UK riding bikes together, chasing down windmills. You know, that's my truth.
How good is Ted Lasso? God, I hope they don't ruin it.
Oh, man. You know, the lamestream media would have you believe that that show is good. And actually, they talk about way too many human rights topics for my liking.
Who says lamestream media? I've not heard that
the
one.
The lamestream. What?
I've not heard that one, no.
That's what all those fuckers say. They call it the lamestream media. Or maybe I'm thinking of Dave Ramsey.
Don't even get me started on that motherfucker.
Man.
You want to talk about the patriarchy? That man hates women.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's it really for Donna and Reese and Callie in Arizona. But simultaneously to that, Arizona is like, did I sleep with Leah?
Yeah, did I bang Leah? Who knows? I don't.
It's a mystery.
Yeah.
Cuz last we saw Arizona booped Leah on the nose.
And that was it.
And drove away. And then apparently what's happened since then is Leah called Arizona to make sure she got home okay, which feels like it wasn't really her job. Then when she didn't answer, she was like, I'll go check on her. And then she found her passed out in the hallway, classy. And Leah like took her inside and tried to get her to sober up and everything. But Arizona didn't remember any of it. But then Leah was just kind of like alluding to things. And Arizona's like, all I remember is that she was in my kitchen. Did I sleep with her? Because now she's acting all weird. And I'm like, I think Leah unfortunately just doesn't know what to act like when she has someone who's a friend.
Yeah. And also, Arizona was like kind of using her as just like an errand person for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was really funny that scene where they were in surgery on... I think it was Reese, and she was telling Owen that she should kick Arizona out of her apartment and take it back. And I think Leah's in it, and she goes,
"No, it's April."
Damn! Oh, I thought it was Leah. You're right. I just saw my note. But it's really funny that there's like these people who are defending her, and April was saying something to the effect of, "But no, it's been totally retrofitted to be handicap accessible. You can't kick her out now." And then Callie gives her the death stare. That was just really funny.
Yeah.
But back to the Leah thing. Yeah, like she kicks her out of a surgery, right?
Yeah, okay. So first of all, Arizona and Derek are doing this like big AVM surgery, which they don't go into. They're basically only doing it so that Derek like can't pick up Zola. Like that's the reason it was written in plot-wise. And so Leah comes in and she goes, "Who knew Dr. Shepherd was such a big shot?" Literally everyone. Like, what do you mean? Like, that's who, people, they talk all the time about how he's like the best nurse. Like, people come all over the country to see this man. What do you mean? Who knew he was such a big shot? Get out from under your rock.
Yeah, is that poor writing or what's going on? Did they write Leah that dense? Who knows?
And so, you know, Arizona's like, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "You told me to scrub in when we were hanging out." And Arizona's like, "That's so interesting. Why don't you get out of here?" And tells her to go like cover the floor patients. And so Leah's like, "Okay, that's fine." And then there's a lot more things like that. And then finally Arizona's like, "What happened? Because you're acting weird and I think you're pretty. And did I sleep with you? Because I don't remember." And Leah's like, "Oh my God, you think I'm pretty?" So.
But also, like, "No, dude, we had fun. I took care of you. You were drunk in the hall. We tried calling you. You didn't answer." Yeah, fucking grilled cheese. And you know what? What's funny is everyone's like, "I do actually kind of remember the grilled cheese now that you think about it. They must have been good. Must have been good." You know, I don't do this very often, but I am going to give a shout out to someone who doesn't listen to the show, but their spouse listens to the show. I'm going to give a shout out to Mark. My boy Mark makes some pretty good grilled cheese. So. Ironically, Leah, when you we're talking about Leah, when you see him next, tell him he makes
when you see cheese. Him next.
When you I guess see I meant
the,
to say
the next time you when see you see your husband.
When you see him next, post listening to this part of the episode, okay? Also, hi Carter, if you're listening. So one, I also have to shout out. I think this is the first time that we've seen Leah like in makeup with her hair done and like out and about of the hospital, I think, because we've seen Joe out, Steph we also see in this episode out, or no, we had seen Steph out previously. Was Leah in that episode where the episode where Jackson and Steph bone for the first time in the car? Because Steph was dressed up for that episode
was
too.
No, because that was someone flirting. Bailey's wedding.
Bailey's wedding. Okay. So, yeah, Leah wasn't dressed up there. But Leah looked very nice, very pretty out and about. We love we love the regular clothes.
We love an out of scrubs also, moment.
Yeah. Speaking of scrubs, February 25th, everyone. Not a sponsor, but counting down the days. All right.
Are you nervous at all? What if it's not good?
I don't care. It's going to be great. It's like okay. Star Wars. They can mess it up, but I still get Star Wars, you know?
Okay.
Toy Story, same thing. They could mess up Toy Story. I'll still love it.
I just wish they wouldn't, though.
I also don't want them to mess. I don't yearn for them to mess it up. But you know what's crazy? I still haven't even seen the new Avatar movie.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I also haven't seen any Avatar movie.
That's crazy.
I don't need to. I don't care. I understand that it was a big deal. I understand that James Cameron is a big director. And good for him, and I love all the people that love it. And I love that for them. It's just not a movie for me.
And that, my friends and listeners out there, this is a prime example of how we can disagree and you can be incorrect at the same time.
I mean, it's just not for me. I'm not saying it's bad.
No, I'm fucking with you.
It would be, see, this is what pisses me off, is when people don't like something and they say it's bad. Those are not always simultaneous. Sometimes they are.
Sometimes they are.
But sometimes something can just not be for you. Like, there are plenty of things that I don't like, and I don't think that inherently makes them bad. Now, there are movies that I do think are bad, and I will say that's a bad movie. And there are movies that I think are bad that I also love.
What's an example of a bad movie that you love?
I don't think P.S. I Love You is a very good movie from like a writing and like plot and pacing standpoint, but I love that movie. And I am not a big rom-com person. And I love that movie.
Oh, I fuck with the rom-coms. I love the rom-coms. That's another, if we go back to the opening of this episode and we talk about things we stand for, you know, I want to personally stand for rom-coms. So
brave.
in a world run by...
In a world
by,
where you will get canceled for loving a rom-com.
in a world where, there's not enough cisgender, straight, white men out there supporting rom-coms, I want to be an ally of all
things
rom-com. For
the rom-com community.
For the rom-com community and all Matthew McConaughey's everywhere. So, okay. Yes. I think that storyline is very funny, but also Arizona is now homeless. I think it's safe to assume that she takes Leah up on her offer and goes and crashes at her apartment.
Yeah. Sad to see Callie move out of Derek and Meredith.
Oh my gosh. I love their family dynamic.
The opening scene when Callie and Meredith kiss goodbye is so funny.
So funny.
And just like so perfectly executed.
And just the moment where Meredith is like, I did what I did, but I'm not gonna, I'm moving on. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. the exact opening scene where she's waking up before the alarm, it's just diabolical. I hate being up before my alarm. I hate
it. Ooh, brutal. Last night, so this morning my alarm was for 6.
Yeah.
And Wyatt woke up to eat at 5:47, and I was like,
no!
You tiny turd.
Fuck.
Luckily, she did then go back to sleep until like 9:30, so after all of the other people in our home left, I also went back to sleep.
That's nice.
But I was like, damn,
Jess does this thing where she will set an alarm like 5 minutes after I set my alarm. It's never... I don't know how she does it. She just thinks, what time would Carmen set? I want to set 5 minutes after. So in the midst of my snooze button time, her alarm goes off. And her alarm, I don't know what it is, but it's egregious. And I
hate it. Well, she's deaf.
I don't care.
Well, you probably should.
If she's deaf, why set the alarm anyways? Just have me set the alarm and I'll push her off the bed if I have to.
That's probably why she'd rather set an alarm.
Gosh. And depending on the side of her head she sleeps on, she really will not hear the alarm.
Is it vibrate though? Is like that what she relying on? Is the vibrating?
No, it's on the nightstand. It's,
I don't know,
diabolical. Oh man. Anyways, it's crazy. I love her. She's beautiful. She's an angel. But fuck her alarm schedule.
Michael is the person that's like, I'll hit snooze 16 times. And I'm like, I will end your life if this goes off again.
You know, I'd like to stand on another thing, Kelsey. Can I stand for one more thing?
In 2026, Carmen is making a lot of stands.
You get two snoozes max.
If you don't share a room or a wall or whatever with anybody, you can snooze as much as you fucking want. I don't care.
If you have another
person in the room with you or anyone else who can hear the alarm, you don't get that many snoozes.
Two snoozes maximum. And you know what? If you need 16 snoozes, you're living by yourself. You're not bringing that negative energy into my life. You know what? If you need that many snoozes, set your alarm 5 minutes after you fall asleep and just snooze the whole night. Just do whatever you got to fucking do. I don't know what you want. I feel very passionately about this, and my name is Carmen Magnolo, and you get two snoozes. That's the rule. I approve this message.
My name is Carmen Magnolo, and you get two snoozes. Vote for me. I'll give you two snoozes.
But for me, oh goodness! Because if I hit the third snooze, I'm calling out of work. I'm not going in. I'm going to sleep. I'm done.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, so she woke up before the alarm. They all Meredith kissed Derek on the cheek, but then kisses Callie on the mouth. Funny. And I think she got all the kids ready and their breakfasts and everything ready. So mm-hmm. Callie's like just being super keeping mom over them there. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah, it's funny. I feel like the rest of the storylines kind of all intertwine enough to where we might just want to go do the next episode.
We should do that.
But do you have any other thoughts on, like, the... Because, I mean, also, part of the Meredith, Derek, and Callie thing goes into her storyline as well.
Yeah,
so I guess
we can just go to
the next episode.
No, I mean, I still don't love Leah, and I don't know, like... What are your thoughts on Leah after this episode?
They haven't changed. I think the biggest thing with Leah is Shane needs to confess his murder still. So... you know, she's not received the scorn of my heart at this point yet. Like, she's not the target of my ire.
The bane of my existence.
Not the bane of my existence, because she's not a bane. But she's definitely she's not in my crosshairs right now the way that Shane is. Mostly right. Because everyone's just moving on after Heather's death. Don't even know if they've mentioned her recently, but it's fine. But I kind of like her in this dynamic of friendship mode with Arizona, and that's okay. Making her a little bit more interesting of a character for me to explore right now.
Okay. Well, I love that. So I guess that's it really then. Yeah, we can go on to the next bit, and we will start after everyone's favorite segment.